It is Friday, February 15th. Let's talk PlayStation. Now, we're going to start off this week with just a quick PSA, but the PlayStation Plus expansion to cloud storage from 10 to 100 gigabytes. Sony recently tweeted out on February 7th that that should be rolled out to most PlayStation Plus subscribers now, so just keep that in mind. If you do need that 100 gigabytes of storage and you're a PS Plus subscriber, you should now have access to that. Also, if you remember last week, PlayStation Spain was tweeting about Deacon's wedding, and we didn't really know what that was in reference to Days Gone. Actually, more territory started to tweet about that, which gave it a little bit of a steam and credence, and it actually turned out to be a very nice cinematic trailer. Go check it out. It looks very good, and it's certainly getting me very excited for Days Gone, given the fact that the game is coming up very soon in April. Now, for this next news story, it's not totally PlayStation related, but it's kind of a big deal, so I certainly wanted to talk about it. So we'll get to our PlayStation news stories in a second. But if you didn't see earlier in the week, and the thing is, this was kind of like heavily built up for the past few weeks to a month now, even probably a little bit further than that. We weren't really following it here on this channel, but we kind of all really saw this coming if you have been keeping up with this. But Activision Blizzard recently announced that despite the fact that they've had a great 2018, one of their best years yet, made tons of money, they've actually laid off upwards of about 800 staff, which is crazy and inordinate, and it's certainly creating a lot of conversation and controversy too for you know, the company being held accountable for letting go of so many people. And so there's a lot of different avenues to sort of look at this, and we're going to try and sort of cover every sort of aspect of it, because I try to play devil's advocate with pretty much every conversation, especially the conversations we have here on Let's Talk PlayStation. But Blizzard president J. Allen Brack had this to say in a note to staff: "Over the last few years, many of our non-development teams expanded to support various needs. Currently, staffing levels on some teams are out of proportion with our current release slate. This means we need to scale down some areas of our organization. I'm sorry to share that we will be parting ways with some of our colleagues in the U.S. today. In our regional offices, we anticipate similar evaluations, subject to local requirements. There's no way to make this transition easy for impacted employees, but we are doing what we can to support our colleagues." Now, the affected employees are getting a severance package, so that should include a lump sum of cash, some health benefits for a few months, and possibly a job scout or something that's going to help them sort of relocate. Which, by the way, there is one little silver lining, as always, in the games industry, which is that whenever some sort of major publisher or developer has a major layoff, Twitter's always like such a heartwarming place, because you see all these social media managers from all these other developers and publishers that are posting their job listings saying, "Hey, if you are affected, reach out to us. We got tons of jobs." So I always, that camaraderie I always love. That's always awesome. And people are always very helpful with each other, so that's always great. But they do have a severance package, so hopefully that'll help most of these people back on their feet. Now, let's try to sort of look at this from every sort of point of view. I mean, the thing is, yeah, the company had a fantastic year. They made a lot of money. Why would they lay off the staff? I'm going to try and maybe sort of look at this from their perspective, which is that it's not all too uncommon to have layoffs in a situation where you genuinely don't need these people. And what they are saying in that quote, actually, or what J. Allen Brack was saying, is that these are people with support roles. So no development staff is actually leaving. No developers are leaving. And they're trying to, what they even said, what Bobby Kotick actually also said, the Activision CEO, was that they are going to double down on developing more games, which means they do need all those, you know, software and software engineers and programmers and things like that. You've got all these people that are doing promotional work, support roles, esports. These are the people that are seen as redundancies now. And whenever a publisher or developer has a major product launch, it's just not uncommon at all for, you know, people to be laid off. I mean, not to this sort of scale. I mean, this is like a 9% of the workforce leaving. This is a major, major, you know, situation where people are losing their jobs, and it's very unfortunate. But just, I'm kind of trying to see where the decision-making was with Activision. They're a company. They want to make money. And so they know that they're going to make more money if they let go of all these people. The other end of the spectrum, and I certainly love that more and more people are applying a lot of pressure to them, which is that the high corporate pay of some of the top executives at these companies, which is that it's abnormally high, abhorrently high. I mean, and not just yearly salaries, but also bonuses. I mean, you're talking multi-million dollar bonuses. That's just a bonus on top of your salary. And, you know, the bonuses alone from some of these executives is 100 people's salaries. It's just insane. And then people are also bringing up the example of Satoru Iwata and a couple other Nintendo execs, which actually lowered their pay a few years back, I believe. And that was in a situation where the company was looking at facing layoffs. But that was a very real thing that happened to keep so all those people could keep their jobs. And that's, you know, not only do I think that's, one, just being a decent human being more morally responsible as a leader, but also generating good PR for your company. I mean, this is obviously bad PR when they do something like this, where they, on the same earnings call, more or less, say, you know, we had a fantastic year, we're going to try to make more games to make more money, and also we're getting rid of all these people we don't need. It's just bad timing. If you're going to get rid of that staff, you know, fine. It just happens. It's part of this industry. I hate to be the one to say that, but it happens so frequently. We've talked about it for years on this channel covering the video games industry, but it happens. Just why would you line it up like that? You're just asking for people to hate you, and people do. People can't stand this news story. And now you're seeing other news stories where it's like, oh, Ubisoft had a great year, and they didn't lay off 800 people. Go figure. And so, you know, I totally get the whole, because I'm seeing some people say this shit where it's like, oh, well, you know, leadership roles deserve high pay. Of course leadership roles deserve high pay. I don't think anybody's certainly disputing that, but it's abnormally high. Does any individual need that kind of money in this sort of business? I mean, I don't know. I'm not the one to say that. I'm not the one to sort of make that kind of a judgment. But does an executive need a $25 million plus salary or bonus when it could be $10 million? You know what I mean? It's still plenty of money, and you're also, you know, giving plenty of people, you know, I don't know. It's just like, why wouldn't you want to share that down with the lower part of your company? I mean, it just seems like it's a kind of a bad environment, it seems. And I know this is not outside the norm. This is what every company does. Every company has very high paying executives. The lower end of the spectrum, you know, it's a pyramid, and the very bottom people, you know, they get the worst. So this is like a story where it's like, there's nothing to really go about it other than it just sucks for the individuals that were affected. And like the worst part about it is that this rumor was stirring around for so long that, you know, the people that consider themselves on the chopping block, they had to endure this for like over a month of like not knowing if they'll have a job, if they're going to get cut. Like, that's the worst part about it, is that this just sort of lingers and lingers until it finally happens where you don't have a job. And so, you know, Activision, they're going to deal with a bunch of bad PR for a little bit, and then they're going to keep releasing games and people are going to keep buying them. So at the very least, I do like that more and more people are putting this big magnifying glass on not only very abnormally high executive pay, but also the sort of moral responsibility of the company. I think when you're a company that is making so much money and doing very well, it doesn't matter what industry it is, mind you. Doesn't matter if it's video games, doesn't matter what industry it is. If you're doing extremely well, I think it's within that company's responsibility to sort of instill goodwill on not only the people that make the company so successful, but also just give back to the community as well. Maybe that's just the way I see it. But this was very unfortunate to see this past week. Now, going back to our PlayStation news stories, chairman of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios, Sean Layden, did a lot of interviews this past week. And I mean a lot. Like, he did a lot of talking, said a lot of very interesting things. So I think that we're going to talk about all of those things. The first one being about crossplay. And this is another one where it's like, this kind of fires me up a little bit just because of the circumstantial evidence that we have here. But basically he said, oh, yeah, crossplay is good to go. If you want to do it, let us know. It's all good to go. So he had this quote to share actually with Game Informer during an interview. He said, people keep saying, why doesn't Sony allow more people to have it? We're open for business on this one. All it takes is for publishers and developers who wish to permission it. As ever, just work with your PlayStation account manager, and they will walk you through the steps that we've learned through our partnership with Epic on how this works. I don't believe right now that there is any gating factor on that. I think they're open to proposals because the Fortnite thing worked pretty well. Now you might see something like that and think, okay, perfect. The floodgates are open now, no issues, no situation of Sony's going to do this game but not that game, open beta, this, that, and the other, it should be fine, right? Well, not so much. Over on the Reset Era forums, the CEO of Chucklefish, Finn Bryce, actually commented on how he tried to get crossplay going with his game Wargroove, and it just was not being worked on at all. Basically, he said, we made many requests for crossplay, both through our account manager and directly with higher-ups, all the way up until release month. We were told in no uncertain terms that it was not going to happen. Just wanted to provide some balance on the issue and say that it certainly isn't a question of developers not having contacted their account managers or having dropped the ball. We were told no. And this isn't the only example. Stuart Chisholm, the CEO of Hi-Rez Studios, also tweeted out earlier, it's time to stop playing favorites and tear down the cross-play progression wall for everyone. We have Smite, Paladins, Realm Royale, ready to go when you are. The thing is, I really want to give Sean Layden the benefit of the doubt here only because maybe this just is a situation where it hasn't trickled down to everybody yet that has a position of power to deny developers access to this feature. Maybe it's like that. I mean, PlayStation is a big corporate cog. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in this machine here, and I can certainly understand when there's various differences and misunderstandings in terms of what's being allowed and what's not. I mean, I would hope that interviews like these are gaining enough publicity to the point where every single person in position of power is understanding that, oh, maybe we should be allowing this now, or what have you. I'm not entirely sure. We don't know what's going on at Sony, but obviously this isn't very good when you have a situation of them saying, oh yeah, we're good to go, and you've got whoever's in charge of allowing developers access to this. It seems like it's often no over and over and over again. And those are big games. Smite, Paladins, I mean, Wargroove, I mean, that's a big game. I mean, why are these guys not getting access? I mean, it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. If this was a situation where the company has finally approved it on a sort of widespread, you know, situation of for all titles being available, I mean, why is it not some sort of press release, an email, I mean, a corporate email, something? Why was this not in a meeting? I mean, you know, something's not right here. Something doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Otherwise, this would have been fine. Otherwise, you know, this would have been a true floodgate situation where once Rocket League and Fortnite had the support out there, every other publisher and developer would have been knocking at Sony's doorstep to get this feature turned on for the ones that wanted it turned on to begin with. Because that's the thing. So many people are like, oh, I don't care about crossplay. It's not even about that anymore. Developers and publishers want this. They want this situation where players can jump between platforms and have their progression there and not have to worry about you know, where their friends are playing. And it's also for the health of their games. You know, you don't have to worry about just a PS4 player base, just an Xbox One player base. You can have the confidence of finding a lobby, finding a matches, finding players. There's so many benefits to it. And so that's why developers and publishers want this for their player base. And Sony is just being a big pain in the ass about it. Now, funnily enough, our next news story is about Sean Layden commenting on the competition. So actually, tech correspondent Dave Smith asked Sean Layden how he feels about Nintendo and Microsoft, and he actually had this very long quote to share. I think Nintendo's doing wonderful things with the Switch and the platform, and it's sort of blurring the lines between what's at home gaming and what's on the go gaming. But also, I think Xbox has really raced with us on how we're pushing the bar out on technology and quality, and what they've done recently with their introduction of an adaptive controller to increase the accessibility of gaming is a wonderful innovation. I hope to see more across the industry in support of that. We've been working with accessibility issues quite heavily for quite some time, particularly with Naughty Dog Studios and what they've done with giving gamers a variety of setting changes you can put into their games, depending on what your particular abilities are. So I think as an industry, we all move forward, and I, for one, am going to stop talking about using phrases like competitive platform, because I think we're all supporting and leading an entertainment revolution in gaming. You know, all hands to the till, we're all in this together. Now, I don't want to sit here and say, like, oh, that comment's totally BS, because to be honest, it is totally BS. I mean, let's be real, at the end of the day, what he just said is totally BS. I mean, Sony will always want to make more money than Microsoft. They'll always want to have market leadership over Microsoft or Nintendo. They want to be at the forefront of this industry. But that goes without saying. I will say, though, there is a slight bit of honesty, because in actuality, if you do look at the last 4 or 5 years, there is that good camaraderie going on in the games industry between these companies. I mean, you can see it on Twitter constantly where, you know, Xbox is congratulating Sony on all their releases and awards, and Sony has done it once or twice for Microsoft or Nintendo. They don't do it nearly as often, and we all know why Microsoft does it, because they're trying to sort of instill goodwill into the consumer and have a good public-facing image, so that goes without saying, too. But, you know, it's between all three of them, and, you know, we had that situation at the Game Awards where the three leaders were on stage, you know, giving a speech, Reggie Fils-Aimé, Phil Spencer, Sean Layden, and as far as we know, I mean, there's never really been anything like that before, where you have every competitor sort of standing on stage and just saying, you know what, this is about games, this is about the people that make games. And I've said it for the longest time, which is that you can't be in the video game industry if you don't genuinely love video games, if you're not passionate about it. It's not like some regular factory job industry sort of corporate level where you're mass manufacturing potato chips or pencils or, you know, whatever the product is. You're not passionate about those things. It's just a job. So even if you're a high paying executive at General Mills or whatever, I mean, are you passionate about that? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, video games are it's a creative sector, and people that are creative quite often are very, it's like the starving artist sort of thing, where you do it for the love of it. That's what most starving artists do. That's where the term comes from, is that you do something because you love it and because you're not making any money out of it. But you know, this is a job. This is something that people make a living off of. So If anything, that's like the sort of good-hearted thing I'll say out of that quote, and we'll just kind of leave that there. The next quote is about E3. So Sean Layden once again commented on why Sony's not going to be at E3. So in this conversation, he was quoted as saying, "When we decided to take video games out of CES back in 1995 during the PlayStation 1 era, E3 served two constituencies, retailers and journalists. Retailers would come in, you'd see a guy come in, and he'd say, 'I'm from Sears, and I handle Hot Wheels, Barbie, VHS, and video games, so what are you about?' There was a huge educational component. Then you had journalists, and you had magazines and lead time and jockeying for a position on the cover, and there was no internet to speak of, so a trade show at the time of year for this nascent industry was exactly what we needed. Now we have an event in February called Destination PlayStation where we bring all retailers and third-party partners to come and hear the story of the year. They're making purchasing discussions in February. June now is just too late to have a Christmas holiday discussion with retailers. So retail has really dropped off, and journalists now, with the internet and the fact that 24/7 there is game news, it's lost its impact around that. So the trade show became a trade show without a lot of trade activity. The world has changed, but E3 hasn't necessarily changed with it. And with our decision to do fewer games, bigger games, over longer periods of time, we get to a point where June of 2019 was not a time for us to have a new thing to say. And we feel like if we ring the bell and people show up and hear in force and people have this expectation of, oh, they're going to tell us something, we are progressing the conversation about how do we transform E3 to be more relevant. Can E3 transition more into a fan festival of gaming where we don't gather there to drop the new bomb? Can it just be a celebration of games and have panels where we bring game developers closer to fans? The thing I've been saying about E3 2019 is that yes, Sony does not have anything to show. That is why they are not going. And Sean Layden once again reiterating, we don't have anything to show. That's why we're not going. And that's fine by me, because that's like, we've been predicting that for over a year now, which is that we knew what all of Sony's developers were doing. So they're not going to have anything to show in the next few trade shows. Sure enough, they didn't have anything to show for the next few trade shows. People were super disappointed about E3 and a few other ones that I don't remember. And so this was like a no-brainer as to why they're not showing up. You can't go to these events and not have anything to show, because people are, they have this in crazy high expectations. There are even like good E3s, you know, 7-8 years ago where like I thought they were great shows, but people were just like, ah, that wasn't that good. And there was like major announcements there. People have this crazy expectation. And so there's no way Sony can go to E3 showing off nothing because they don't have anything to show. And we know early 2019 is not time for PlayStation 5. So obviously they're not going to be there. The thing that I'd like to point out, though, is that he is kind of reiterating over and over again that is less games but bigger games. And that might be a situation moving forward, which might also tell us a sort of broader idea of what Sony's long-term is going to be in terms of their developers in the next 3-4 years now, which is that maybe they won't be acquiring more talent. And because that's kind of what I was sort of saying not too long ago in prior videos, which is that, Sony's closed a lot of studios. They haven't really done a lot of new ones in a while. Maybe it's time for them to court new talent or something, get very aggressive and make sure that they have this, you know, they continue to have the best suite of exclusive games only available on their platforms. I feel like that's their best strategy. But Sean Layden seems to be saying something different, which is that maybe they're not going to look into acquiring new talent anytime soon. And they're probably just going to stick to, you know, these games that do take a longer time, somewhat of a 3-4 year development cycle. But once they come out, I mean, they're DICE Game Award winners where they're consistently scoring, you know, 90 above Metacritic's, and they're 20-30 hours long. I mean, who knows sort of what he's getting at? Sure, he's kind of being very vague about it. That's not necessarily for every single developer at Sony. Sony Japan Studio, for example, is consistently always releasing 2-3 titles a year of either small or semi, you know, large variety. So you're still going to get a little bit of everything, but maybe on a broader aspect, maybe you won't see Sony attempting to acquire new developers. Now, moving on to our big PlayStation news story, there's a major shakeup in terms of PlayStation leadership, but Sony Interactive Entertainment President and CEO John Kodera is actually stepping down and going back to overseeing PlayStation Network in general, and that's actually where he was from previously. He oversaw most of PSN and Sony Network in general, and we are now getting Sony Interactive Entertainment Europe's Jim Ryan. So as a quick summary to this, actually, so Kodera didn't have the job too long. Andrew House, who was with Sony for a very long time, and we knew Andrew because he was he did a lot of the press stuff. He was on stage a plentiful amount of times. He revealed PS4. He was there announcing PS4's price. He's been with the company for a while. And he had the CEO role for about 5 or 6 years, if I'm not mistaken. But he left in 2017. So we had John for a little over a year. And we didn't really see a whole lot of him. I mean, he did a few interviews. He never really did any public appearances. And to be fair, I don't think we really saw enough time of him to really see any sort of major changes or decision making. I mean, when you take on the role of a CEO, it takes quite a bit, you know, a few years to sort of see their leadership flourish because, you know, the company's a big, it's big. I mean, things are already set in motion well prior to a new CEO sort of taking over. So John really didn't have much time at the helm, but he actually felt like he was better suited going back to PlayStation Network. And Jim Ryan, who is much better at actually seeing the organization in general, apparently is a better fit. Now, this is a big news story for a few reasons. One, I mean, obviously a new CEO, kind of a big deal. The other one being that while Jim Ryan hasn't been totally favorable in recent years when it comes to executives at Sony. So Jim Ryan has made a lot of polarizing comments over the years, and we've discussed all of them. One of them being that it was at one point, certain E3, maybe it was 2015, 2016, he said indies weren't as relevant anymore, and that was a little bit off base. That wasn't too bad of a comment, but it was more or less saying that, yes, indies are still important, but just that the reason why they don't bring indies to E3 or things like that anymore is because they're trying to focus more on VR or something like that. But he was essentially saying, we don't show that much indie stuff anymore. And people kind of gave him some flack for that. The big one, and I still think it was such a weird comment, I don't know why he said it, but it was the comment where he said he was at a Gran Turismo event, and he said they had PS1, PS2, PS3, and PS4 there, and he said the PS1 and PS2 games just looked bad. And he even asked the question, why would anyone play this? He'd also commented on backwards compatibility. I think that was the same, actually, event or same interview or something, but he basically said that backwards compatibility is a feature that is often discussed but not often used. And to be fair, that actually is still the case, and we've talked about that a number of times, which is that as much as we've loved backwards compatibility and we like that peace of mind of knowing that we have one piece of hardware that can play everything, the data's there. Not many people actually use it, despite the fact that Microsoft might share infographics saying Xbox Ones have been used for, you know, billions of hours of Xbox 360 play. If you grade that on a curve, more often than not, Xbox One play is Xbox One games and not Xbox 360 games, so just keep that in mind. But so he's not totally off base there, but the fact that he would go on record to say, why would anybody play this, about his own company's, you know, legacy platforms, and he knows that gamers are very passionate people, we're a very passionate amount of consumers that closely keep those consoles to our hearts, and you know, so the, obviously that's polarizing. That's why would he say something like that? And I'm sure he probably regrets saying something like that. So this obviously is a situation where a lot of people are looking at all these statements he made previously and going, oh my God, what's going to happen now in terms of leadership? Is he going to get rid of backwards compatibility? Are we never going to see PS1 games ever again? Is he going to, you know, stop any support? The thing is, that's totally exaggerated. And I'll be the first to say I've never really been a huge fan of Jim Ryan either, but you know, he's been with the company for a long time, since 1994, I believe. I mean, he's been there since the very beginning. I mean, he is a man that will probably do the job just fine. I mean, we won't, and like I had mentioned earlier, we're not going to see Jim Ryan's major decisions until 3-4 years, assuming he actually holds the role for that long. But he's actually done press events. I mean, he usually does Gamescom or Paris Games Week, because that's Europe. So it's not like it's out of the norm. He's comfortable being on stage. He does talk. He does do a lot of interviews. So we'll see a lot of Jim Ryan in this role, and he'll probably do just fine. PlayStation 5, whatever it looks like right now, whatever it is, he's not going to be able to make some sort of, you know, dramatic change to it. These things are well in motion years prior to whatever sort of, decision making he had as head of SIE Europe. So, you know, it's nothing to get totally worried about. I mean, Jim's honestly probably a great pick. He probably really is. We don't work at the company. We don't know how he is on a day-to-day basis. He always, to me, he comes off as a little more, by the books. He comes off as somebody that is, well, very blunt, certainly. So if anything, that's probably a good thing. But he looks like he's the kind of guy that will probably be very firm on a decision if it needs to, you know, come up. He'll probably be very aggressive with some of the strategies he has. John even said he's probably better suited going back to PlayStation Network. And that makes a lot of sense too, because PSN is a major cash cow for Sony right now. And they know that moving forward, yes, PlayStation 5 will be traditional hardware, but moving forward, we're certainly going to need somebody to understand the best way to sort of, you know, keep PSN the absolute epicenter of digital entertainment, whether that's streaming or just still purchasing and downloading content. So overall, I don't think this is really a bad thing. You know, you don't really know until 4 or 5 years down the road when we sort of see what Sony turns into, or I guess what Sony Interactive Entertainment turns into. But there you go. Now we got Jim Ryan. Now it's time to get into Let's Talk Plus, our weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you could win a $10 PSN code. I would like to congratulate Ionis. I think I said that right. You are the winner of the $10 PSN code. I'll be contacting you soon on Twitter. If you would like to win a $10 PlayStation Network code, it's very simple. Follow the link down below to the Gleam website. You can subscribe to the channel. You can follow on Twitter. You can follow on Twitch for an entry. We do this every single week on Let's Talk PlayStation. Let me pay for your games. With that said, those are all the news stories I want to talk about to you guys from this past week. So if you didn't see on Tuesday, boom, 50 plus PlayStation facts. You know, the original PlayStation, it's so great. And don't listen to Jim Ryan. What do you mean, why would you play it? There's tons of reasons to play it. It's a great platform. But if you want to learn about it, 50 plus quickfire facts. And I guarantee you, there are some things in that video you don't know about the original PlayStation. Go check it out. And hey, if you are watching this far in the video, welcome. So many new subscribers recently. I cannot believe that PS3 Online video did so well. Got up to like 2 million views. That's nuts. A lot of you are probably new. So welcome. Let's Talk PlayStation every single week here. Some PlayStation news. Very good stuff. You get my opinions. You get to talk about the industry. It's good fun. And really, I mean, at this point, just use me. I'm trying to give you $10 every single week. That's good odds. And only, you know, a few hundred people enter every single week. So to be honest, when you do 3 entries, it's looking pretty good for you. So, you know, if it ever gets to a point where, you know, we get more people joining in, I'll have to up that $10 code to a $20 code. You know what I'm saying? So, by all means, thank you for subscribing. I hope you enjoy the channel. Other than that, that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.